Thank you beyond words. Thank you, precious people. Well, as you can see, probably tell, the message today is going to be a little different than usual. I usually don't preach behind a table full of stones, and it's actually not really going to be a preaching message or a teaching message. It's more of a reflection to the glory of the Lord. I've been planning and praying about this day for a long time. Actually, it's my last message. I'm not going to be preaching next Sunday as we enjoy some worship celebrations together. They're not telling me much of anything about next Sunday, except I'm not preaching. I know that much there. I've just trust the Lord will use our time for His glory today to set the context for what's going to follow. It's important for all of us to be aware that in the Old Testament, stones were very commonly used as memorials to God. Memorials back to God in remembrance and reflection of His miraculous power, His assistance, His presence, His help along the way. And the stone memorials were intended to provoke questions long into the future, so that discussions would follow by the questions. What are those stones for? And then they would have these discussions about how God had led His people in the past and seen them through everything and helped them. And in that way, future generations could participate in what God had done in the past, even though they weren't there, and older generations would never forget, because they had to constantly tell and retell. For instance, following the Lord's great power to bring victory to His people Israel when they were assaulted by surprise by an enemy army of far greater power than Israel had in their army at that time. It is recorded in the Bible in 1 Samuel chapter 7 and verse 12 that after the victory, then Samuel took a stone and he set it up between Mizpah and Shin. That was an area about 7, 8, 9 miles directly north of Jerusalem over there in the land of Israel. And he named it Ebenezer, saying, "Thus far has the Lord helped us." Okay, so the stone didn't help anybody, but the stone was a remembrance. The stone was to be a memorial of what God had done in a miraculous way and helped His people have victory over this army that was so far disproportionately greater than Israel's army. So the word Ebenezer is a Hebrew word, and it means stone of help. And we just sang from that great hymn, "Here I raise my Ebenezer, hither by thy help I come." Christ is the only way for us to come to God, you see. And so sometimes these stones were placed in a stack. And when the people of Israel finally returned from 430 years in the land of Egypt to the south, and they got down there, as we know from our studies in Genesis, due to the flood. And when they finally returned back to the land of Canaan after 430 years in Egypt and 40 years wandering in the wilderness, they came up around on the east side of the Jordan River. The Jordan River was the east border of Israel. And they had to cross the Jordan River, and they had to cross the Jordan River by faith, because at that time of the year, it was in flood. Normally, it's not much of a little river at all. But like we can really imagine, because right now in Minnesota, every little tributary and everything is just torrentially flooding. And that's the way the Jordan was. And when it flooded, it really flowed fast, because the inches per mile of slope from the Sea of Galilee down to the Dead Sea is very steep. So when it was in flood stage. It was torrential. And when the priests, as Joshua led the people up to cross over the Jordan into Canaan, into the Promised Land, when the priests walked into the water carrying the ark, which was the Ark of the Covenant, the presence of God, literally with the Lord's people in the Old Testament, then into the temple later on. Back then, they only had this little ark. And so when the priests walk into the Jordan River carrying the Ark of God, the river stopped up, you see. And so we're told in Joshua chapter 4, so Joshua called together the 12 men he had appointed from the Israelites, one from each tribe. And we know what those 12 tribes were from our previous studies. The 12 tribes were descendants of the 12 sons of Jacob, of Israel, the 12 tribes. And he said to them, go over before the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan, and each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder. So these 12 guys were right, and this was done while the river was stopped up. And this is advanced instruction here. According to the number of the tribes of the Israelites, to serve as a sign among you. Get these stones to serve as a sign among you. In the future, when your children ask, what do these stones mean? Tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. So it was the power of God that cut the flow of the Jordan River. And these stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever. Now, if we drop down one verse to verse 9, it says, Joshua set up the 12 stones that had been in the middle of the Jordan at the spot where the priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant had stood. So the priests with the Ark walked in, and as they walked in, the river stopped up, and they stood there, and these guys picked, the other 12 picked up these stones and put them on their shoulder, and they are there to this day. Now, not to this day in, 2014, but the best we can determine, Joshua was written about 1050 B.C. before Christ, right around the time of the beginning of the kings and the era of the kings over Israel. And at that point, the stone, the pile of stones was still there. Now, they really knew how to pile stones back then. They were stone artists, and they wanted to. They wove them together like a puzzle. Puzzle pieces, and they just last, and they lasted and lasted and lasted. And so with this understanding in mind, as you probably have guessed by now, for the rest of our time together today, we're going to build an Ebenezer to the Lord in remembrance of God's help to us. I went to a landscaping place, and I picked out 18 stones of remembrance to help us recount just a few of the great works of God on our behalf as His people, as a church. But there could be so many more, because it is the Lord who has brought us this far. And friends, it is the Lord who will take you into your future. Now, you might even want to use the outline in your bulletin as a tool for future recall of these stones of remembrance here in prayerful thanksgiving together. But the first stone of remembrance is very significant because it recalls, it goes all the way back to our birth as a church, our beginning. Okay, that was approximately, technically, 1949, although for 2 to 3 years previous to that, there had been a series of studies for children in homes and then studies for adults, so the family, parents of the children, and so on and so forth. But this was the first physical building of what would become known as Crystal Evangelical Free Church, built in the nearby city just to the east of us of Crystal. And back then, Crystal was a new burgeoning suburb far to the west as things started moving out. And God blessed, and later the facilities were enlarged. And the Lord continued his hand of provision and blessing and help in a mighty way upon that little congregation, upon those who went before us. And today, friends, we stand on their shoulders. That's always the way it is. Whatever God is doing in the present is always an outgrowth of what he has done in the past. Some people forget that, particularly if what God is doing in the present is very exciting. People tend to think, well, that's us today. No, it's all built on the past and how God, and that's what's going to happen to this church in the future. And that's why we are always a church for those future generations to come. Okay, so our second stone reminds us of God's gracious help to provide faithful shepherds along the way, pastors who were called and gifted to shepherd the Lord's people. The prophet Jeremiah reminds us of something that God would do if his people would remain faithful to him. It's Jeremiah 3:15. Then I will give you shepherds after my own heart, God says, who will lead you with knowledge and understanding. Spiritual leadership of God's people by people has always been a part of God's MO, Old Testament and New Testament. And faithful shepherds over the earlier years of this wonderful church included Pastor Albert Sandberg and his family. He's the first one in the upper left, and he was actually the founder of this church. And we have a little room called Sandberg Chapel. That's the reason it's called Sandberg Chapel, in memory of him. And he has a son, Dan Sandberg, who is an active part of, grandson, I mean, who is an active part of the congregation today. Dan is Albert's grandson, and Dan is a master craftsman. And I talked to Dan, and I said, Dan, I'm going to need a little something here, because I don't really know how to stack stones too well, and it's got to be very solid, and maybe a little something up the middle to keep the stones from crumbling and piling in on each other would be helpful. And so Dan made this, and I thought, how ironic that the grandson of the founding pastor is a part of the service today in that way. And then Ken Meyer and his family pastored from about 60 to 67. Dr. Tom McDill and his family from about 67 to 77, their rounds. Pastor Jim Olson from around that time up to about 83 or thereabouts. And then David Fisher and his family followed for a few years there, three years or so. And then in between, along the way, Pastor Lester Nelson and his precious wife Esther, dear Lester and Esther, that if you knew them, y'all loved them so much. Lester was an interim pastor at two different very important and strategic times of transition as a local church. And many of you carry precious memories of how your life was touched by these pastor shepherds. Just seeing their picture brings back for many of you precious memories. Well, our third stone reflects God's great help through the campus expansion here to New Hope. New Hope. That expansion was a great part of the vision of Pastor Tom McDill and his leadership and the folks that mobilized around him to come from Crystal to this location here at New Hope. Pastor McDill pastored for 10 years. He was the longest pastor and in the line of shepherds. And he then became the president of our denomination, Evangelical Free Church of America. And at first, there was nothing. And that's the way it always is. It's nothing to start with. And it'll stay nothing if people don't walk out, launch out by faith with vision for a grand purpose to honor and glorify God. And so you see them there breaking ground. And then what we know today as the ministry center, the south portion of our present campus, was built. And that's a nice shot of that. That was the first worship center here when they moved. And then it became the original and much larger facility in New Hope, completed in about 1977 under the powerful preaching then of Pastor Jim Olson, James Olson. The congregation grew and the campus was again expanded, and in 1983 to what we know today as our main campus. And there's a picture from the east side of the main campus. And you can see the two distinct sort of buildings that are wedded together. Very nice. A timeless architecture of these facilities. Absolutely timeless. And praise God for the vision and the faith of those who led the way through God's help. Now, stone number four is in remembrance of the many faithful ministry servants throughout the entire history of this local congregation. Over the years and right to this present time, many, many, literally thousands of people, of folks, have taught and prayed and served and planned and rehearsed and sang and hosted and cooked and built and repaired and witnessed and shared and given and driven and studied and mentored and sacrificed in so many other ways, served. And they and you, to this day, are the ones who have done the ministry of the work of service. That's the way the church is supposed to work. Guys like me are simply to equip, to inspire, to lead. But it is all for naught if the body of Christ doesn't serve. And so the faithful ministry servants certainly have to be a powerful stone of remembrance for us. The real work of ministry is done by those who love the Lord and love others. Thank you. Thank you for serving. And I, being who I am, must say we really need a lot of additional servants for the children's ministries this summer. So, you know, just throwing one in there right for you. Contact Pastor Greg and the children's ministries. Okay, now we're going to call the fifth stone God's 1990 plan. God's 1990 plan would bring a lot of change to this church, to this congregation. 1990 was the year when the Lord called the Gould family from Emmanuel Evangelical Free Church in Burbank, California, to Crystal Evangelical Free Church here in New Hope, Minnesota. And here we all are. I had just turned 42, and there's the family, along with the pets, the dachshunds, Phoebe and Tootsie, and Buddy the cat. And we shipped them all out here, and old Phoebe barely made it. She passed away about a year after we got here. But Steve is holding her gray snout out in front there. And then you can Lori with Tootsie and Pammy with the cat Buttercup. And that picture is primary example that time has a way of curing youth. Now, some of you are laughing and some of you are not. Some of you, I do not like that kind of humor. There's no place in church for that kind of humor. My parents, Pastor Don and Betty Gould, hence the name of one of our wonderful granddaughters, Betty Gould. My parents, Pastor Don and Betty Gould, came out from Michigan for the installation service. And Pam and I are somewhere in the middle of the circle there, of the laying on hands in prayer that particular Sunday. And that's my father leading prayer from the pulpit. And I'm very proud of that picture, even though it's black and white. But hey, that was 1990, the Stone Age, right? And I'm just so proud to have that picture. Dad graduated to heaven about 2 years after that picture was taken, after they were here. And thus began 24 years of almost unending change at this church. And the Lord has had his hand of help upon us the entire time, his power upon us over the journey that has passed so quickly. So our sixth stone of remembrance is for God's faithfulness and protection in transition and testing. Very important. As with every congregation that is powerfully used by the Lord for his kingdom purposes, there's always a lot of transition, a lot of change. And there are many times of testing along the way. And we are called to take bold steps of faith in action. And so in just a moment here, we're going to see what the Lord said to Joshua when he was about to lead the people into an incredible time of transition and ultimate testing. Joshua 1:9 says, this is God speaking to Joshua, have I not commanded you? Meaning I have, but here it is again. Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. And Joshua led the people with confidence that came from this truth. In past years, before many of you were here, as a matter of fact, about 4 months after I got here, we were sued as a church in a manner that had never occurred in the history of this nation. And it was a giant leapfrog to the very front door of the church in terms of the free exercise of one's personal religious faith. And we knew it was wrong. And we withstood it in the court system. And it lasted 7 years. And we eventually won in the U.S. Supreme Court. And that was a time when God wanted to injure the church nationwide and injure this church. And that case has been used as case law hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times since then. And God stood with us in that time of testing. In 1995, we discovered a very surprising and dismaying financial predicament that, unfortunately, quite frankly, due to misconstrued bookkeeping, we discovered that we didn't have what we thought we had on hand. As a matter of fact, in reality, we were quite in deficit in cash on hand. And God kept us together. The enemy wanted to split the church. He wanted to recoil and fight and leave. And God took it, brought us together, and he saw us through that, and he provided everything. And we went through a period of legal intervention as a church, of a most discouraging time for me, among the most discouraging time. But I knew that it was right. A gentleman who had a long history of ministering to children. I received reports from people in this congregation that there had been mistreatment of their children, crimes against their children, and And the enemy said, don't do anything with that. The church will never understand. This guy is perceived as a saint in the kingdom, and it will split the church. But I realized, and I said, God, I've discovered this for a reason. And it was processed through the court system, and the man was quickly convicted, and that conviction stood without any hesitation as it was appealed, and he served 4.5 years in prison. And in that time, the enemy wanted to split this church and divide us. And what had happened and discovered was that many other churches had known, and pastors had known of this reports, but they had not done anything about it because of the very fear that initially was in my own spirit it would split the church. And God saw us through, and God served for his namesake and for his glory and brought victory and the elimination of that system that had been at work operating for years in the context of that ministry. There have been transitions in style, in systems, in staffing for ministry, in dress, with everyone except me, and with hair for everyone except me, and change in dare I say it, music, and God has saw us through, and the music wars that have split so many churches and soured up and dried up so many believers in their hearts, and they didn't get to us here at New Hope Church. That's the help of God. That's the help of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's so many more great times of testing and vulnerability. But faithful is he who calls you, the scripture says, and he also will bring it to pass. It meaning what he calls you to. Faithful is he who calls you, and he also will bring it to pass. Thank you, Lord, for your hand of help and power upon us. We could not have made it without you. Here's the seventh stone of remembrance, and that is the honor and the blessing of ministry partnership. Ministry partnerships. The kingdom is so large, and the needs are so great, and the opportunities so many that the local church must look far beyond itself, way beyond itself, and wisely partner with others who are effectively serving the cause of Christ. And with God's help, we have not flown solo as a church. With God's help, we have partnered with many other like-minded ministries. And we have not isolated. And we have increasingly reached out through prayer, service, witness, financial partnerships with so many others in presenting and living out the gospel of God. And without mentioning any specific ministry organizations, for there have been scores and scores, hundreds over the years, here are just a few of the areas that we've focused on and had the joy and honor of partnering with. Local and global church planting, sanctity of human life ministries, worldwide trafficking intervention, the worldwide persecuted church, physical and emotional disabilities, substance abuse and addiction recovery, prayer mobilization ministries, community impact ministries, urban housing and community restoration, global Jewish resettlement to Israel, worldwide gospel proclamation, and preserving and restoring nationwide biblical moral values. And there are so many, many more. And each area of partnership represents God's help upon this church. Thank you for being generous and joyful, serving, partnering, kingdom players with vision far beyond New Hope Church. Okay, now here's another stone of remembrance to the Lord, and it is for the excellence and example of the ministry staff. There have been so many who've been part of our ministry staff team over the years, and God's blessing has been upon us. And I have appreciated and valued this ministry staff teams right here. Nice stone for them of remembrance of God's help to us as a church. It is so evident that you love them as well. Thank you for your words of encouragement and prayer and acts of kindness toward the team. This is the senior staff ministry team as it exists today. They are precious and they serve so faithfully. And then this is a picture of the senior staff and the senior staff oversee departments of ministry. And I work most closely with the senior staff and particularly with my precious, dear, longtime and forever friend, Pastor David Rodquist, senior associate pastor in charge of day-to-day operations of ministry. And he serves as chief of staff. And I just cherish the ministry team. We must have a stone of remembrance of God's help in that way. Now, here's another stone of remembrance that represents a huge part of God's hand upon us. And, of course, it is the White Rose salvation celebrations, as we saw here even this morning. Sometimes we have one. Sometimes we have eight. We've had as many as, I believe, 76 on a Sunday. And over the years, we have had so many. And the Bible says this. The Bible says, I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and then to the Gentile. And for in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed. It is a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. And we've celebrated the white roses. And we now have celebrated well over, in just 10 years since we began doing this, 10 and a half years or so, well over 3,000 decisions for the salvation in Jesus Christ. Because sharing the gospel, we're not ashamed of the gospel. I think more of the lost than I do of the protection of my own timid self that somebody might not receive what I share with them or sort of get upset at me. And we've systematically overcome in great measure. And those 3,000 roses represent this congregation at work in the lives of others as you share the good news of salvation. Now, another stone would be our high and holy calling, of course. Our high and holy calling represents another wonderful stone in our Ebenezer of thanks for the Lord's help and power upon us. The beginning of our high and holy calling goes back over 8 years now, and God used it powerfully in order to call us to a new commitment, a fresh commitment to good deeds and good news. Doing good deeds in the name of the Lord and proclaiming the good news of the gospel. We were able to acquire a nearby property and begin the Hope Bridge Center for Community Impact Ministries. Good deeds, good news, it says right under Hope Bridge sign there. And I believe about 120 people in the congregation serve all the ministries and sustain the ministries that go out of the Hope Bridge Center. And our high and our holy calling was also a commitment to be a Christ-centered community for all people and to intentionally, relentlessly pursue the great joy and the calling of increasingly representing the ethnically diverse face of the full body of Christ, His church, not ours, His church. And we've been on that journey, and we are on that journey, and you will stay on that journey because we have made enough progress in spite of all the obstacles and resistance, because the enemy doesn't want anything of this in any church. The enemy wants a black church to be a black church and a white church to be a white church, Hispanic church to be a Hispanic church. The enemy does not want the body of Christ coming together in centrality on the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I really praise God for that dimension of our high and holy calling. We also changed our name. Rather than plant a church in Crystal called New Hope Evangelical Free Church, we chose to change the name of Crystal Evangelical Free Church here in New Hope to New Hope Church. A simple name, a memorable name, easy to say, inspirational connotation. It was a symbolic change, really. We took a year to do it, but it was symbolic at a time of, however, very significant foundational structural change in our future as ministry. Our high and holy calling was also a time of fresh commitment to being a biblically faithful, culturally relevant, and appealing ministry, as well as a recommitment to global ministry. And the transition in the early years of our high and our holy calling was among the most challenging. And the sifting that took place and the pruning among the most painful. And the entire process most essential, however, and the ultimate blessing has been and will increasingly be among the greatest we will ever receive as a church. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for sustaining us through the transitional time of the implementation of our high and holy calling, and it still remains long to grow in maturity and reality. Now, here's another powerful stone, of course, to remember, and it is for our rich in generosity. If I can find the right stone here, this is a little complicated building a stone tower here and trying to speak in any intelligent fashion to you at the same time. So there we go. That's for our rich in generosity ministry campaign, a time when God began and continues to lead us into a deeper level of joyful financial generosity. How God greatly has helped us in moving us through rich in generosity and moving us from a mindset, even though we didn't, many of us realize we had it, of transactional giving, convenient giving, traditional giving, paying God a little bit type of giving, into transformational giving. It has truly been a heart experience. Rich in generosity was basically formulated in the last half of the year 2011. It was laid out began to be laid out in 2012. It was launched in 2013. We took most of the whole year and launched at the end, and it runs 3 years up until 2015. The purpose was to ask God to do a fresh work in our heart, to change our, to work deeply within us in this area of joyful financial stewardship so that it just flowed out of who we are as people of God. The goal was to raise $3.9 million for an early payoff of our entire ministry mortgage. Our intention then was and is, and we are already doing it, to launch new ministries through the money that was being used as mortgage payments. And we praise God, we're $3.9, almost $4 million bucks. We're down to $1 million bucks right now, and just a little bit of change left in paying off our entire ministry mortgage in the middle of 2013. And I want to tell you that one of the greatest things that God will do in the future is through Rich in Generosity. Even though Pam and I are leaving, we are joyfully going to commit to our full three-year commitment to Rich in Generosity ministry campaign. And if the church exceeds the 3.9, praise God, it'll give us an opportunity, give you an opportunity to do something grand for the Lord outside of the church and even use a part of that money as a running start on the parking lot that is deteriorating faster than we can spit week after week here after this past winter in particular. Okay, I'm going to have to hustle through things here really fast, aren't I? Yes, Pam said, you got 18 points. People are going to think the message is going to last 3 hours. And I said, well, why would I want to change the last time I preach at New Hope? Okay, another great stone of remembrance must be the wise and loving elder spiritual leadership oversight, elder spiritual oversight, which the Lord has provided to us over the years. There have been many elders. The elder in the New Testament is the highest office of spiritual leadership in the structure of the New Testament church, and it is under the headship of the Lord Jesus Christ. So here are our faithful elders. Pray this thing doesn't fall down before I'm done, because that's kind of like going to defeat the whole purpose, isn't it? The job of an elder is to lead the Lord's people. And here's our present eldership team. You see it, and wives there. And I love them so much. And they serve us in four primary areas as ministers of prayer, ministers of encouragement, counselors of wisdom, and a crisis team in waiting. A crisis is a crisis only when you think crises never occur. And that's why the Bible says, let the elders who serve well be considered worthy of honor, even double honor. And the next stone is in remembrance of God's help to produce congregational unity and vision. So important. You are a house united. You are not a house divided. And that is a great reason that you have been and are open to fresh vision to get things done along the journey of existence and calling as a church. Jesus said, a house divided cannot stand. Unity is what God calls for from his church. A house divided will not have the strength, will not have the courage, will not be stable to get anything done, to move forward for Christ. And that's why the enemy attacks in this area so relentlessly. And I want to thank you, dear friends, for being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, as we're told in Ephesians 4 and so many other places, that truth in the New Testament. Number 14, an unwavering commitment to the gospel, to the Word of God. Thank you for loving the Word of God. Thank you for being compelled by the gospel of God. Thank you for allowing me the privilege of teaching as best I could the whole counsel of God, and not demanding that this church be an entertainment center where you always leave feeling good, and it never goes beyond an hour, and the message never goes beyond 20 or 22 minutes max. These are all things that sociologically that are trying to be programmed into the mindset of every pastor in America today, and it's wrong. And it's not. And I thank you for the wonderful, wonderful, wonderful privilege for being able to teach the Word of God, and for you thank you, and for your commitment to study in small groups and in your own time before the Lord. Another great stone of remembrance is for your enthusiasm and empowered praise and worship. Thank you for growing as an authentically worshiping congregation, a sense of His presence, being able to respond to His presence and His prompting within. You exalt the Lord. You enjoy the Lord. You enjoy worshiping the Lord. You are an encouragement to one another. Authentic worship this way always translates to an embracing and an enjoyment of one another gathered together for the same common purpose. Thank you for your spontaneous warmth and affirmation and welcoming newcomers and guests and artists and speakers who come in. Whenever they do, they always say the same thing. They say, this is such a warm church. I go everywhere, and this place is kind of unique, and it feels like my church, the ones that come back, it feels like coming home, and praise God for that. Well, thanks as well for your love, grace, patience, and kindness to the Goulds. This is a deeply personal stone of remembrance for us. Thank you, Lord. You have loved us so well, as a family, thank you. You have had patience and grace. You have seen us through in our weakest times. And we will always cherish this church being the church in that way. Thank you, precious, precious people. Here's another wonderful stone of remembrance of God's help that I've personally chosen to place on our Ebenezer, though I know that you'd want it there also. It is in gratefulness to my wife, Pam. Sweet Pam. We're a couple of months shy of 44 years together, and well more than half of that time has been together here with you. Without Pam, without Pam, I promise you, we would not have had these years together. And she is as she looks. Kind, loving, gracious, tender, sweet, humble. Servant who loves Jesus Christ. She loves her husband, she loves her family, and she loves Christ's church. Of course, our Ebenezer of Thanks would not be complete without the greatest stone of all on the top in thanksgiving and praise to the Lord Jesus Christ, our head, the head of his church, the one who never changes, the one who never leaves, the one who never transitions, the one who never completes his time over his body. Thank you, Jesus, for being our head, the head of your church. And in his name, I say to you, and now, unto him who is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or think, imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus, our head, throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. And this morning as you leave the service, if you wish, the ushers will be distributing in the main lobby area here small stones that you can take with you if you wish. A little hokey, I know, but as a remembrance of our stone of remembrance, and God's work in this church and God's work in your life, and maybe as a trigger mechanism for you to build your own Ebenezer, your own tower of thanksgiving to the Lord for his kind help. And would you have an absolutely wonderful, wonderful Lord's Day today? Praise God.
Solid.